Psalm 30 this morning. We're going to begin reading in verse 1, and we're going to use verse 5 in a moment as a text. Psalm 30, verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought my soul up from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. That's not my text, but I believe we ought to read verse 4 again. Read it with me. Sing unto the Lord, O ye his saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. I want to say hallelujah right there. Verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Here's my text. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let me read that last phrase again. Weeping endureth for a night. Say this with me. But joy cometh in the morning. Psalm 30, David, the writer here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is revealing to you and I that he has gone through the struggles and adversities of life. And some of these struggles that he has gone through has been at the fault of others. Some of the tears that David has cried and some of the pain that he has felt has been because of others. You say, well, Brother Joe, I'm not going to worry and fret over others. Well, you better check out of this life real soon. Because someday, somewhere in your life, others, their faults, their failures, their unfaithfulness, their hurt to you will cause you to go through the struggles of life. I got to thinking about the difficulties of David, from a giant that's cursing the armies of God to a jealous king by the name of Saul, to unfaithful and fair weather friends, to a family full of drama. Woo! From a family through his hurts of his family, David knows what it's like to have to go through the storms and the troubles and the difficulties of life. Then I must be honest today and tell you that not only is David experienced the struggles of life because of others, but David has experienced the troubles of life by his own making. In fact, later on in the psalm, David admits that he caused some of the storms that was in his life. David in our text has gone through what we've called self-inflicted storms. And I want to say this morning that, yes, I have been through struggles not of my own making. But sad to say, I've been through some struggles that was my fault and mine alone. And because of David's hasty decisions, because of his uncontrolled lust, because of some very fatal mistakes that David made, he knows what it's like to be under the chastening hand of God. He realizes what it's like for God to deal with him as a disobedient child. But because of David's willingness to confess, and because of David's willingness to repent, he knows what it is like to experience the mercy, the love, the grace, the forgiveness, and the deliverance of Almighty God. I think the thing about the psalm that makes me want to shout glory is this. I'm glad that the anger of God and the wrath of God and the judgment of God doesn't last forever. But His grace and His mercy endureth forever. God's wrath, God's chastening, God's judgment on you and I is severe. It is serious. But aren't you glad His anger endureth for a moment? But the mercies of the Lord endureth forever. And I believe that's why David said, I'm going to sing unto the Lord. He healed me. He heard me. He brought me up out of that pit. He has had mercy upon me. And I don't believe there's a soul in this room today that's been a Christian very long, that we've had to cast ourselves on the grace of God and the mercy of God and the patience of God. And I believe a lot of us in here today knows what it's like to experience the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the faithfulness of God. I'm glad we have something to sing about when we sing about the mercy and the grace and the faithfulness of Almighty God. And as I begin to read this passage of David, man, a greater picture shines through. There's more in the story about David and his failure, his confession, and how God delivered him. All through this psalm is a more powerful David. All through the psalm, there's a more powerful person that shines through. And literally what you have in this text is a prophecy, a prediction, a foreshadow of one that is greater than David that was to come. The one that really did get delivered from the grave. The one that did have the pains of hell let loose of him. The one that was delivered from the pit and sets on high and mediates the mercies of God for you and I. Most of us know that when we read the Old Testament, it's about somebody that is to come. All through Genesis and Exodus and the Pentateuch, it's about somebody that's going to come. No, you can't read the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Malachi without knowing somebody is coming. In the Old Testament, it's promised, predicted, prophesied. The virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And she did. It is prophesied that this Messiah would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And he was. But it is prophesied, it is foreshadowed that this Messiah and Redeemer would conquer death and hell and the grave. And God would not suffer His Holy One to see corruption, but would raise Him from the dead. And He would become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And may I add, He was, He has, He is, and He will. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And when I come to the book of Psalms, especially 16 out of 72 Psalms that flowed from the heart and pen of David, I am not surprised to hear the promise, the foreshadow, the prediction that that Savior, that Messiah is coming. It is no doubt and it is no accident that a lot of times in the Gospels, those that were familiar with the Old Testament would cry unto Jesus, "Oh, thou Son of David." And what you have in Psalm 30 is a promise. It is a prophecy. It is a foreshadow of a greater David that would come. And that greater David would go to the grave, but God would not leave him in there. That greater David would endure the cross and the crucifixion and Calvary for a brief moment. But that on Easter Sunday morning, early in the morning, the sun would rise again. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, you could say practically in the life of David, yes, his night of failure, his night of trouble, his night of anxiety, his night of disappointment, his night of fear came to an end, and the son of joy and the son of hope and the son of deliverance arose in the morning of his life. And I want to say to every person in this room this morning, you may feel like that your trouble and your disappointment and your affliction and your setback has endured for the night. But hang on, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I can give you this personal promise from the pages of the Word of God. Though weeping may endure for the night, your joy will come in the morning. But how much more is that true concerning our heavenly David, the son of David, the book of the Revelation, the root and the offspring of David? You say, oh, Brother Joe, how could somebody like David picture our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, David was that faithful son that was greatly loved of his father, and sent by his father into the battle and completely obeyed his father. And I remind you, Jesus Christ is the faithful Son of God that was sent by God, and he faithfully obeyed his father's command. David was that wonderful singer that took out his harp and began to play, and through his 72 out of the 150 Psalms has brought joy to thousands. Can I say no one can cheer the heart like my heavenly David, who strums on the recesses of our heart, and in the Lord there is a new song of praise unto our God. David was that soldier that went down into the battle and defeated that giant and won the victory. And they gave David the praise and the glory, for when nobody else could defeat the giant, David was the soldier that won the battle. And I'll tell you about my heavenly David, the son of David, Jesus Christ, went to the cross and defeated death and hell and the grave and the devil. And we give him the glory for his victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. Who was the faithful shepherd that watched over his little flock and protected them from the bear and the lion? It's David. But how much more does our heavenly David, our great David, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, who is the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I'm glad from a son to a shepherd to a singer to a soldier to a servant. He was a sovereign one day that occupied the throne and ruled over his kingdom. And may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, about Jesus Christ. Yes, he was the Son of God, and he is the Son of God, and he was the sacrifice, and he was the substitute, and he is the shepherd, and he did go to Calvary. But I'm glad he did get up out of that grave on Easter Sunday morning. And ladies and gentlemen, the next time you see him, it'll not be in a manger. It'll not be by the shores of Galilee. It won't be on a donkey. It will not be on a cross. It will not be in a grave, but it'll be upon the throne as he reigns, King of kings and Lord of lords, for Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the root and the offspring of David, not because of his sins, not because of his faults, not because of his mistakes, but because of the sins and the faults and the depravity of others. In fact, yours and mine, went to the cross, endured the chastening hand of God, and it got night, in the middle of the day and the night of pain and the night of separation and the night of thirst and the night of anguish, the wrath of God was let loose upon the Son of God. But I'm glad weeping endured for the night. But Matthew 27 verse 1 said, but early in the morning they came to the sepulcher and the stone was rolled away. Yes, the night of pain, the night of anguish, the night of atonement, the night of separation did seem to endure. But I'm glad early one Easter Sunday morning, the sun arose, the Lamb arose, the light came forth, and the weeping endured for a night. Joy came in the morning. Now the suffering of Calvary, the crucifixion of the Son of God, the death and the suffering of Jesus has come to a close. It has come to an end. And they will never crucify Christ again. For that night of pain, and that night of separation, and that night of thirst, and that night of death, and that night of anguish is over forever. But I'm glad I can tell you this morning that the Son of peace and freedom and salvation and joy and hope shines bright. I looked up the first time the word mourning was used in the Bible. Genesis 1 verse 5, on the first day of creation, God said the night and the day, the evening and the morning was the first day. God mentioned the evening before he mentioned the morning. The evening and the morning were the first day. For you don't appreciate, Lord God, somebody help me right there. Because you don't appreciate the morning till you have endured the night. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm trying to be good on our dignified Easter Sunday morning. I'm about to drop my bucket and dive in. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why evening's mentioned first, you don't appreciate the morning till you have endured the evening. And sometimes it seems like pain and anguish and rejection and disappointment and suffering and the wounds and the hurt of others have endured, moved in for a spell. But I'm glad when the enduring of the night is over, the sun comes up in the morning and Christ lives again and hope lives again and forgiveness and deliverance and joy lives again. Because weeping endured for the night, but joy came up in the morning. Boy, that's no wonder. In another prediction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the psalmist said in Psalm 139 in verse 5, after a long night, he said, I'm going to take the wings of the morning and I'm going to fly away. Aren't you glad when the cross was over, when the pain was over, when the suffering was over, they laid him in Joseph's tomb. But early one Easter Sunday morning, he took the wings of the morning and he flew out of that tomb and he flew into the glory world to sit down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he's prepared a place that one day, some morning, he will come and take us to the other side. Yes, the singing group is right. He got up that he might bring all of us home to him. One of these days, all the saints of God, we're going to spread our wings and we're going to fly away to meet our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, there is no wonder, listen to this, there is no wonder that when the king woke up in the morning, after throwing Daniel in that lion's den all night long, Daniel 5 said, and the king rose up early in the morning and went down to the lion's den and found that God had delivered in the midst of the night. For the pain endured and the loneliness endured for the night. But joy had come in the morning. And boy, the Bible said the devil's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And I'll tell you, we're living in the lion's den of lust, the lion's den of apostasy, the lion's den of iniquity, and the lion's den of sin. But some glad morning, the morning is going to come, and we're going to leave the lion's den and have victory over the devil forever and forever, because weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And it is not an accident in Matthew 27:1, it said, and they came early in the morning, and the stone was rolled away. Then I thought, well, if the first time morning is mentioned in the Bible is important, it must be important where morning is mentioned the last time in the Bible. The first mention is Genesis 1:5. The final mention is in Revelation 22, where Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, saith the bright and morning star. Jesus said, my coming is like watching the bright and morning star. You ex-Navy men will back me up on this. Out on the ship, looking out into the darkness, right before dawn, Venus shines bright, bright, and it's called the morning star. If that little planet Venus, that bright in the morning star that shines bright right before the sun comes up, if you could hear it speak, this is what it would say. I know it's dark. I know you're fearful. I know you're lonely. But I know something you don't know. The sun's coming up right behind me. And when the sun, who is greater than me, comes up behind me, I will fade from view, and the sun will take the center stage. I've held the hand of my dying mother, and I thought, there's nothing but darkness, nothing but death, and nothing but sorrow. But Simon Peter said to those who would trust the Messiah, the day star would dawn and arise in their heart. That day star says, the sun's coming up in the morning. Love will live again. Faith will live again. Hope will live again. Whatever night you're going through, whatever night of fear and failure and disappointment you're going through, it will fade away, and joy comes in the morning. You say, how can we know that? Because the sun, the shepherd, the soldier, the singer, the servant, the sovereign, endured the pain of crucifixion on the cross of Calvary, and God turned the lights out when the atonement was made in the middle of the day. But early, early, early in the morning, Mary and some of the disciples are going down to the tomb, and they're wondering, that stone is very big. How in the world are we going to roll that stone away? They had seen a band of big, big Roman soldiers move that stone, and they're wondering, how are we going to get that stone away to go in and anoint with perfume and spices the precious body of our Lord and Savior? And as Gomer Pyle would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. They got down to the tomb. And the stone was already rolled away. Boy, they ran into that hollow tomb, and the slab is empty. All they see is a pile of those swaddling clothes, grave clothes, and up at the head, folded neatly, a napkin. Boy, they turn around and say, "Where's he at?" And then about that time, there stands a young man clothed in white that said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Did you not hear the words that he spake to you? He told you it would be this way. But on the third day, he would arise." And he said, "Listen to me. He's not here. He is risen." And he said, "Look where the grave clothes lay. There were those swaddling clothes. The ones they would wrap a little baby up when he was born in that day. There lays those grave clothes at the foot. But up there at the head, neatly folded, was that napkin that covered his face." Boy, them Roman soldiers didn't know much about that. And I don't know how much that young man clothed in white knew about that. But son, when them two Jewish disciples walked in that tomb and saw that slab empty and saw them grave clothes, and up there by itself neatly folded was the napkin, they knew what it meant. For in that day, if a king was dining at his table and he would finish his meal and he was done for the day, he would just flippantly toss the napkin, ball it up anywhere on that table. But during that meal, if he got called away for official business and he was not finished, and he was coming back to pick up where he left off, he would take his napkin and neatly fold it and lay it at the head of the table. And that told the servant, "I'm not done. I'm not finished. I'll be back and I'm going to pick up where I left off." Lord, they get down there and that stone, my God, I feel like preaching. And that stone is rolled away and they walk in there and the angel said, "There's the clothes, there's the clothes." But I believe them two disciples said to one another, "Oh, I see the folded napkin. That means he's not done, he's not finished, he's coming back and he's going to pick up where he left off." I'll remind everybody in this room today, you've not seen the last of Jesus Christ. He came, he taught, he prayed, he performed miracles, he lived, he bled, he died, but he got up again and ascended on high, and some glad morning, the sun's gonna shout again. The weeping may endure for the night. Joy cometh. That was true in the life of David. He experienced life and forgiveness on the other side of failure. And you can experience life and forgiveness on the other side of failure. It's true in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. For in the darkness he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" As that light begins to come back on, you hear the pathos of his voice say, "It is finished." And I want to turn this around in the closing moments of our service. The devil and the demons and the iniquity and the sin and the ungodly hordes of our day are having their day, but their night is coming. The way the President of the United States of America desecrated this holy sacred day is a shame unto God. But I want to say, live it up, boys. You're having your day. You're having your day. It looks like sin is having its day, and the devil's having its day, and sorrow is having its day, and the iniquity and the God haters and the Christ deniers and the scoffers are having their day. Yeah, they are having their day, but their night is coming. But I want to say to some child of God whose faith rests in the finished work of the cross, it may mean night in your body, night in your mind, night in your emotional system, night in your family, night in your life, night in your finances, night in your world. But I want to tell you, your night is about to end, for the bright and the morning star is about to appear in the eastern sky to remind all of us, the weeping endureth for a night. Joy comes in the morning. In closing today, I really believe that the message of Christmas and the message of Easter is the same. Hope. Light. Life. Forgiveness. And a relationship with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold on, my child. This is totally off script. But if I didn't have full confidence in the direction that I'm looking, I wouldn't be looking in that direction. Hold on, my child. After the fourth attempt. Oh, I forgot, they're union. They're off today. How many remember the night of sin and the night of conviction? You were hung out over hell. You thought you was gone forever. But the Savior came. And God turns your night into day. You may have a broken heart today. You may be dealing with the adverse situations and drama of life. God can turn your night into day. This is the first Easter without my little mama. I almost called her four times yesterday. Did you get your flowers, Mom? Did you get the money I sent my sister to buy you something to wear? You said, do you trust your sister? Oh, yes. Because I went in my mama's closet after she died. We're going to open up a Walmart where my mama used to live. There's enough shoes and dresses for the whole world. And I wished I could buy her another one. But mama don't need my flowers this morning. And she don't need the shoes I'm going to give her this morning. And she don't need that dress I'm going to give her this morning. Because where she is, the flowers never fade. Woo! And the sun never sets. And she's dressed in the robes of glory. And she ain't up to some little feeding tube starving to death in a world of plenty. Lester Roloff would kill me for this. And I believe somewhere in heaven, God's going to let her sip a cup of coffee. Heavenly coffee. Caffeine free. Because I'm glad her weeping is over. Her joy's coming in the morning. A lot of us have had services. A lot of us have walked to this little sacred spot and said our last goodbyes. But I'm glad it is a reminder some glad morning the darkness will fade away and death will fade away and sorrow will fade away and weep and endure for the night. But joy cometh in the morning. And the last time I read the book, it's just about morning. And today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, put your faith and trust in Him. Trust Him as your Savior. Live for Christ. And He'll take your night. He'll turn it into day.